Stanley filling in today for Frank Fontana. Such a thrill to be back with you guys. I cannot tell you how big I am fangirling right now. You have no idea. And this is, you're going to laugh. You're going to laugh. You've known it was coming, but when you hear how giddy I am about this, I have Amanda Preston, who is the local marketing specialist from IKEA, and I am like falling over. I'm so excited. I love, 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 love IKEA.
I love, love, love being here. You're so excited.
You're so cute. You have given me like one of the most precious gifts that I could have ever asked for.
Yep.
You have given me the yet-to-be-released 2018 IKEA catalog.
You got it in your hands, girl. That thing has been on lock and key.
Some women are excited for Cosmo. Some men are excited for the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition. This is what I get excited for every year.
It's so exciting. I mean, even in the store, when we get the shipment of catalogs in, we all grab them. We go to our little corner and start going through 328 pages of awesomeness.
It is so exciting to me. I'm hoping you get this all the time. I went through the items in my home off the top of my head that I could remember were from IKEA. Oh, I forgot my curtains on my front door.
Yeah.
Front door curtains, my son's curtains, his bedspread, my daughter's curtain rod, I think. My entire guest room is from IKEA. Our pillows are from IKEA because they're excellent.
Yep.
In the guest room.
Yep.
We have my pillows, of course. Ding, 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 my pillows. My bedspread, my duvet, it's remarkable. If you have to stage a home,
yeah,
go there.
Absolutely.
The orchid in my bathroom are bath mats, and by the way, they're $10 and they're awesome.
They're awesome. And the great thing, it's like everything's under one roof.
And so, it's machine washable.
And it's machine washable. Even today, you know, I brought some goodies in with me today and I grabbed an IKEA backpack. And as I'm like traveling around with this backpack, I'm finding like all these other zippers and compartments that I didn't even know it had.
I need
and
to I'm dig like, through that.
Oh my gosh, this is an IKEA backpack. It was so useful for me today to carry all my stuff around in. Everything under one roof.
Let's talk about the food for 10 seconds.
Okay.
Because I was telling you another story off air. Literally, I was like jumping up and down giddy, so excited that you were coming in. I was so hopeful you weren't going to be just on the phone because I just would have come out cross. Like, I would not have been able to properly express this. This is one of those places, especially when we were staging my house before we moved, that my daughter and I would go. My son was in school. And she and I would go and like get some food, either breakfast or lunch, and kind of make a day of it. And get what we needed. She loves eating there.
I know. It's like a day out for the family, right? The food's fantastic. It's at a good price.
Yes.
Do a little shopping. Refuel a little bit. Do some more shopping. It's a great day out for the family.
Also family friendly. Very, very focused on making sure that multiple generations of people can. It's very accessible for people going around in case they have mobility issues. But you also have like microwaves and places to warm food.
Yep.
You have areas for moms and dads who are taking care of littles. It really is remarkable how easy it is to shop it.
Thank you. Yeah, that's much appreciated. And that's what we do is that, you know, it's a big store. And we hear all the time people love coming to IKEA and to shop and eat. And we want to make that experience as best as we can because, you know what, we're a home furnishing store and it's about the home, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we want to say that we want to make home great, a better place every day for people at home. And of course, we're going to do the same thing in our store.
Right. Mm-hmm. So many of the items are, I know sometimes you guys get maybe a bad rap socially, mm-hmm. you know, because it's, oh, it's sort of disposable. I've had things for years.
Oh, I know. Me too.
Our towels, because they're mine. Yeah. I bought them. But from IKEA are phenomenal. The waffle towels, we take them everywhere. They wash beautifully. They don't do that ripply thing
right. At
the end where, you know, like you get the nice towels and then all of a sudden the shrink where where the stitching is. They don't do that.
You know, it's really fun. People come in so excited to the store and they want to show us pictures of a piece that they bought 20 years ago. They're like, you guys don't even carry this, but I've had this in my house and I've done this with it and it stores this, it stores my books, it stores collectibles, you know, whatever it is. They're so excited to show us.
Here's another thing, and I've been meaning to do like a little video about this. I've redone every closet in my house with bookshelves from IKEA.
Yeah.
The Billy bookcase.
Yeah.
This is what you do, people. You buy a Billy bookcase and you can get them in a variety of widths, like thinner or wider. And then depending on the size of your closet, you put that in there. You can either get clothing rods from IKEA or from like your mm-hmm. local hardware store.
Yep.
And you build in these customized shelves. It's fantastic because I have built-in storage because you guys have little cubbies that fit on that Billy bookcase. And it does not break the bank.
No, and that's such a great story to hear too, because people, you know, we have so many smart solutions in our store, and then people come in with these really great ideas about, oh, I saw this on Pinterest, or my girlfriend did this, or something like that, and we love hearing that. You know, it's about offering smart solutions to our customers that's going to make your everyday life at home better and easier.
My son's bedside table, the two bedside tables. I keep remembering different things I have from IKEA. But what it is that it allowed us, especially when we were staging our house and then furnishing mm-hmm. things we had. We didn't have a guest room before. Now we had a guest room and we had no side tables. It allowed us to not have to make a crazy investment in
right.
$400 a piece. Mm-hmm. I think I spent $100 each on these side tables. Yes, I built them. But I love building IKEA furniture. It's very therapeutic to me.
We were talking. It's like Legos for adults, right?
It is so
and
good.
The range is so broad, too. So if your style preference is more traditional or if it's more modern, more rustic, there's the range of products there, too, that you can choose from and really be able to customize your home and your look and a smart storage solution, if that's what you're looking for, mm-hmm. that, you know, there's everything there for you.
My sister does not have an IKEA close to her, and she'll walk in my house, and by the way, is a designer. She used to do store windows for very high-end retailers. She will walk in and go, this is a great piece. Where did you get this? And I just laugh, and I go, IKEA.
Yep.
She's like, you find everything there. And like, I know. The Hemness line, I think it's Hemness.
Yep, you got it.
For those who think it's just all boxy, and it's really, that is a more traditional type styling, but really fits in a variety of decors. And I own, I think, every piece. I've got
quite a few as well. And you're right. People are surprised that there is a traditional line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's great about the width and depth of our range. There's everything in there, whatever modern to traditional that you're looking for.
Another option, too, as far as we were talking earlier about pieces that are functional and save on space, definitely I love the displays that your designers come up with for 200 square feet apartments, studios, if you will. Probably that would have been luxurious to have 200 square feet in New York.
Yeah.
But especially going into dorms, we have desks from IKEA. You can buy the tabletop and then buy the leg, so you can really kind of customize your own look and your height. Because mine for broadcasting at home is very high.
Right.
And my husband's is more of a traditional height.
Right. And you know, and that's what's great, too, because those smart solutions, those are the solutions that are going to help you every day throughout your home, right? So we love to have people come in, inspire them. They're pulling a table that's, you know, coming off of the wall, or some really nice storage solutions inside of a kitchen drawer, or, you know, pull out the trundle underneath the bed that's going to save some space. Those are the solutions that we really try to show people to make it more customizable for them.
You guys even offer really brilliant kitchen design, which is something you wouldn't necessarily think of, including a line of appliances.
Yep, absolutely.
Quartz.
Yep.
Granite.
Yep.
This is all IKEA. People.
It's all IKEA.
You can walk in with dimensions and they can help you design flippers. If anybody's listening who flips houses, mm-hmm. this is a great place because you can have custom cabinets at a fraction of a cost,
right.
but are really solidly made.
They are. And it's amazing to see people see our kitchens for the first time. And you can ask them one question like, what is your overall goal with your new kitchen? And someone will say, man, I don't want to have to dig around for my pots and pans anymore. What do you have that's a great solution for that? And you take them over and you show them the drawer solution. So you pull out the drawer and you look down into the cabinet to find your pot lids, and they're like, I am sold.
Right.
I don't have to get on my hands and knees and dig around underneath that base cabinet anymore. And it's really offering those little solutions. Or open up the spice drawer and everything's lined up. Or people are like, man, I really want to recycle. I need a place to sort.
I have this.
Yeah, I need a place to sort. And when we can offer those solutions, that makes that a dream kitchen.
We had the garbage recycle dual can that you could pull out. Yeah. I'm telling you, people, you would be surprised if you walked around my house and knew how much of it was from IKEA. I should offer tours.
There you go.
We are going to continue with Amanda Preston. She's the local marketing specialist from IKEA. If you have questions, we're actually going to talk about going back to college because you have so many great things and so many really solid ideas. I will stop fangirling about IKEA. I think we've talked about most of the things I own. For like a split second, it sounded like the beginning of the Electric Light Parade from Walt Disney World/Land. I don't think it's anywhere now. Hannah Stanley filling in with random music knowledge for Frank Fontana today. It is the Frank Fontana Show. I believe he will be back with you next week. If he's not, I will be happy to spend time with you again. Amanda Preston is here. I get so lucky with Frank's guests when I get to fill in. Amanda Preston is a local marketing specialist from IKEA. You flew in today from Detroit.
I did.
To be here.
I was so excited. I needed
you
to bring
you the
catalog.
You knew I would be this excited.
Yes.
Yeah, there are amazing things in this catalog. I get to see it. This is ridiculously early. How soon does this come out?
So it'll start hitting mailboxes next week. And then we've also got a digital copy of the catalog that will be coming out August 7th. And that's got a lot of really great interactive content and videos and inspirational videos with it, too. So the digital catalog is absolutely fantastic. And this year's theme for our catalog was Make Room for Life. And it's really about enabling people and showing them how do you make room for things you love and the things you love to do in your home.
All right. So one of the biggest trends, things that people have been talking about socially, Pinterest, whatever, has been KonMari, to like getting rid of it's with the art of tidying up.
Yes.
So this is a great way where you can sort of KonMari things. Once you do establish what you do want to have and cherish and brings you joy, you can put them, either display them or have them neatly organized so that you can access them. We're talking today about going back to college.
Yes.
It's a big deal for so many people, at least, you know, generationally, we all sort of go through this moment where we're either moving out of our parents' home into our first apartment or going off to college. There is a twin loft bed frame for $149.
It's great. And you know what? When we talk about going back to college, it's a really exciting time. It's, you know, a lot of students, it's their first step into adulthood. You know, their first adult home, their first bit of freedom. And like you said, like the loft bed, it's a really good signature piece that you can take from year to year to year. And what's so exciting is what we did this year. We created like 7 distinct style groupings, because when you're taking the step into adulthood, it's really time to define your style. You mm-hmm. know, what do you want to do? What do you want to be known for? So maybe it's more of a preppy chic look or more of a bohemian look. We have the range of items to fit that style group. So we've got the nice loft bed. You've got your textiles, your accents, even your storage containers. You don't have to go with just plastic storage containers. We can give you some really smart solutions that are going to really, they're going to look good too.
It is always my biggest joke that I cannot go to IKEA on the weekends, the 4 weeks before school.
Yeah.
Because it is packed. People show up with U-Hauls.
You know what? I have talked to so many parents these last few weeks that are coming in shopping, and it is a big job. They put a lot of time, they put a lot of research into it, mm-hmm. and they've got a lot to get. And what's really nice to be able to talk to them about is it's all under one roof. We've got it all right here. And defining kind of these clear styles, like we said, the preppy chic, the bohemian, maybe you're more of a sporty style or a techie style, that everything is clearly laid out. People can shop really easy, get in, get out, get what you need, and, you know, really take this next exciting, you know, step.
You can go from infancy to adulthood, and to help you with that, we're going to give away a gift card. I told Cassara over the break we weren't going to give it away because I was going to take it, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. How much of a gift card are we giving away?
We've got a $100 gift card.
$100 at Yay. IKEA, people. This is such a good giveaway. Let's just do a certain caller. 72. I'm kidding. I'm not going to do that to you. Let's do caller 12, and the number is 312-981-7200 for a $100 gift card. Look at the phones light up. $100 gift card to IKEA. Of course, we have two local IKEAs, that is out in Schaumburg, and that is huge. Huge.
Yes.
And then we also have Bolingbrook,
yep,
which is big. It's just laid out differently.
Yes.
It's two stories instead of
three. More of the traditional layout. Yep.
Is that? Okay.
That is the more traditional. Yep.
All right. But they are all throughout the country. And now, exciting, some of the stuff is now on Amazon Prime.
We're going to get there next year.
Okay.
We're going to expand our delivery with partnering with another vendor. So we'll get there next year. But shopping online is great. Visiting the store. There's so many options.
These are surprisingly quality items, mm-hmm, sheets and duvets and things that wash beautifully and don't pill, mm-hmm, and feel great. They have great hand to them. The other thing I mentioned to you earlier, too, as far as crafty people, mm-hmm, or projects that I want to make with the kids, IKEA is a great go-to. You have easels that I think are like $10, mm-hmm, that have a whiteboard on one side and chalkboard on the other, and then a roll of paper that pulls up in the middle. Both of my kids have them.
Yep.
I bought it for the one and the other was jealous. And so I was like, can't you share? And then they just looked at me and I was like, well, clearly no. So for $10, I got them another one. They have lasted for years and years and years. And I can rip off that craft paper and they can do anything with it. Also just great frames that are basic wood that you can kind of glue things to if you want to do fun projects. Really, really neat. If you walk in with sort of an open mind for the possibilities, this is really the best place for you. I am very, very excited to be giving away this gift card. I'm so excited to be flipping through this catalog.
I'm glad I could bring you that new catalog. Hot off the presses.
It's so exciting. There's also, I have craft carts for each of us, my kids, mm-hmm, and I, that have little baskets that can pull out. And there's a tray that like sits within one of the mesh baskets, and then they have like crayons and they can move it throughout, like walk into the other room with their crayons and, yeah, they have it, and then it stores very nicely away.
And everything gets put back together really nicely.
Yes, and I make room for my life.
Yeah, you do.
That's what I do. I make room for my life. People are still calling in. Do we have our winner for our $100 gift card? Yes. Okay. This is, you guys can stop calling in. We currently have our winner for the $100 gift card. What are the trends that you're seeing?
You know, we're seeing some interesting trends of people really looking for multifunctional spaces. Mm-hmm. So if you're taking a guest room and you have a guest room and a seating area for mom to kind of get away and maybe a desk area to sit down and do homework, we're really seeing these multifunctional spaces. And even in our catalog this year, you know, we said it's about make room for life. And our major focus is on living rooms. So same thing with living rooms. That's a 24/7 hub of your home. And people are looking for multiple things that they can do in that one room. Kids are doing homework. You're eating breakfast. You're binge watching a show. Someone might have to sleep on the couch. You know,
you don't know.
You don't know. There's a lot of different needs you need out of that one space. And those are some of the solutions when people come to our store that we want to help provide them. We want to physically show them these solutions to make these rooms multifunctional for them.
All right. Sharon was our winner. I was going to go over to her and she dropped off the phone. So Sharon was our winner for the $100 gift card. So congratulations to her. I want to go shop with her.
Shopping spree.
That is very, very fun. The 2018 catalog comes out Monday.
Yep. It'll start hitting
next Monday.
Next week.
Okay.
It'll start hitting mailboxes next week. And then after that, we'll have them in the store for pickup as well.
All right. You mentioned a backpack.
Yes.
Is that something where?
Yeah, we're going to give that away too.
I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah, it's a backpack full of goodies for back to college. Lots of nice accessories to kind of make your new home a little bit more cozier and add some more personality to it.
This is very exciting. I promise I will not snake anything out of the backpack.
I honestly, carrying around that bag today from Detroit,
it's a cool looking bag.
I want that backpack, and it's expandable, so it's like, oh, you could put books in it, but then you could put your laundry in it when you go home on the weekends to have your mom do your laundry.
Making room for life.
Yeah.
Making room for life. You can even get school supplies like a backpack at IKEA. This is so much fun. I'm so thrilled that you are here, Amanda Preston. Caller 22 for the backpack. Okay, I won't do 22. Because when I say that, she looks at me like, really? You're going to answer 22 calls? We are going to give away a black IKEA backpack chock full of stuff for decor and life and college and whatever you would maybe want to use it for. And that's going to be caller 8 at 312-981-7200. The producer's booth just went, yeah, for Hannah. I am going to let that happen during the news, however, because we are saying goodbye to Amanda Preston.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in. This is wonderful. Items that you would suggest for products would be like duvets that are starting at, or sheet sets starting around $17.
Yeah.
Duvets are around $25. Yep. These are things that you can define your look, but then also redefine your look as
Absolutely.
You keep going, because they're not going to break the bank.
Nope.
This is really, really great. And if you want to know how to use the Billy bookcase to do a closet, I'm your girl, that Hannah Stanley. Follow me on Twitter and, or on Facebook, and I will put that up, and on Instagram as well. Hannah Stanley filling in for Frank Fontana today with you for the next 25 minutes, and then I'm excited to get to see the gentleman of the beat. So much going on in Chicago sports. So very much. Hockey does not start soon enough, but it'll come. We will get there. Right now, though, we're going to talk about trees with Sean Kingsett, district manager of Davies. You were here last time I was here.
I was.
This is exciting. You're my regular guest.
I like to be a regular guest.
It's very nice to see you. I had so many questions last time when we were done that I'm thrilled that I get to chat with you again.
Time goes fast. You can never cover everything you want to.
It doesn't.
Through.
And it was one of those things that over the summer, because you think more about trees, you think about trees all the time.
Yeah.
That's
weird
your job.
That way.
You are
us tree geeks.
Yes, you're the district manager of Davies, which is of course
a national
yes,
tree care company. 1880s it dates back to.
No.
Yeah.
Wow.
Out of Kent, Ohio. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
To think that, oh, where are we going to start tree care from? Oh, let's go to Kent.
Yeah, let's start there. That's fine. Sure. Why wouldn't we? Davies is the place you want to go. Proven solutions for a growing world. But I have thought more about trees recently than I have, probably because I got to talk to you right at the kickoff of summer.
Yeah, spring was just getting going.
Yes. So I've been far more aware of certain things. And the primary question, and I know we want to talk about the emerald ash borer because those numbers keep...
Big problem. $5 billion of cost. Millions of hundreds of millions.
And brutal around
here. Yeah. We're kind of... It's almost... The wave is almost through us. You know, we're kind of unfortunately on the backside of
we're
it.
We're running out of trees.
Yeah.
We're running out of ash trees. Yeah.
It's in 30 states or something like that.
Ugh.
Crazy.
How do we know if it is... Infected,
yeah.
Or if, is that what it's called? Do we say it's infected?
Infested.
Okay. Infested.
So infected would be a disease. Infested okay. would be an insect
it's
problem.
It's so close to a disease.
Yeah,
really
it
bad.
Kind of behaves the same.
Wait, if we have a tree that we're noticing is not as healthy as it has been in the mm-hmm. past, how do we know if it's the end of its life cycle or if it in fact has these bugs?
Yeah, the first step is just to know that you have an ash tree.
Okay.
Some folks, they're not even aware of it.
Some people just don't know trees.
So that's why having an arborist is good, because they can tell you, oh, you've got this, this, and this, and they can identify an ash tree and say, hey, you know, you have an ash tree and it's either too far gone or, you know, it's savable or whatever the situation is. But one of the symptoms or some of the signs and symptoms of emerald ash borer are woodpeckers, actually.
Really?
They're going after the borers that are inside of it. So the female adult borer, which is this little green insect,
mm-hmm.
She lays her eggs just underneath the bark.
Okay.
And just underneath the bark is the part of the tree that carries water and nutrients up and down.
Oh, okay, because it's the newest layer.
It's the newest growth, yes.
Okay.
It's always growing from just at the edge of where that the wood is, just underneath the bark. It's called the cambium. And that's the part of the tree that carries the water and nutrients. And that, unfortunately, is where this little larvae feeds, this little cream-colored larvae.
Right, in the soft underbelly.
Just under the underbelly, okay. And that's the part that's carrying the water. So it forms this interesting S-shaped gallery. So it's feeding just between the bark and the wood.
Okay.
And it feeds in this sort of S-shaped pattern.
So when you see that...
If you peel off the bark mm-hmm. and you see that S-shaped pattern...
Okay. Is it going to be throughout the tree or just in one spot? So we could peel off bark in one spot and not see
it?
Yeah,
if it's not in that part of the tree yet, it won't be there yet. Okay. So you're going to look for other things. It's going to be thinner. It's going to start from the top down. Mm-hmm. It's going to feed more at the top at first. And a lot of people do that. They're looking at the base of the tree thinking, oh, I don't see anything.
That's where we stand.
But it starts up at the tips where you can't really see it as much.
All right.
But so that she lays her eggs in there, and lots of them, lots and lots of these little guys are just underneath the bark. It's feeding on there. It's preventing the water from getting to the top. When those larvae are done developing, they exit out in a very, it's called an D-shaped exit hole. So it's this very distinct pattern to where the little larvae is emerging as an adult.
And is that up high? Or?
It's going to be wherever they're coming out from. So towards the end, if it's almost dead, you're going to see it at the bottom
of
the tree.
At that point, I know I have an issue.
but then it's usually a little too late. So in our area, if you got an ash, you're in trouble. So the if you figure out that you have an ash, the first step is just to get an arborist out to look at it, a certified arborist out.
You mentioned earlier that it might not be too late. Can mm-hmm. we heal trees that have been infested?
There are treatments. Infested trees, if it's too seriously infested, it's hard to stop the insect fast enough before it finishes killing the tree.
Mm.
But if it's not too bad yet, there are treatments, and they work much better as preventative treatments versus reactive treatments. And every once in a while, still even now, like I can, you know, I'll go meet with somebody and they'll show me their ash tree, and I'm like, you're not doing anything to protect this tree? And they'll go, no. And I'm like, great, because we still can save it. You know, we still. Now, it's a commitment, though, because it's not like you can treat it once and you can just let it be. Once you decide that you have an ash and that you want to try to preserve it, you have to keep treating. There's several different treatment methods. Some of them you can get over the counter. The most effective is a two-year treatment, an injection. It's almost like a hypodermic, really. Well, you're tapping into that water conducting part.
So do we inject into the actual wood, or is it something in the soil?
Well, both. Okay. But the injection that I'm talking about is actually into this cambium, into the part that carries water and nutrients up and down the tree. It's moving water up there, so if we inject an insecticide into that part of the tree, it will move the insecticide up to the top and the tips, basically like an IV. I mean, like we get injections for, you know, whatever.
I am making the probably the weirdest face because I'm so fascinated. I've never heard or thought about this before.
You probably didn't think about it. Again, we're tree geeks. That's what we do.
It's like medicine. It is medicine.
It is medicine, yeah.
So antibiotics.
This
is trees.
An insecticide, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
but same concept.
Yeah.
Same concept.
I'm so fascinated. I'm sure you guys are as well. 312-981-7200 if you have any questions either regarding your ash tree or Dutch elm disease, like ravaged Elmhurst.
Yeah.
Not in the long distant past.
No, even now. I mean, there's still American elms out there. Same story to a degree in that there's preventative treatments. So people have been able to preserve their big, glorious American elms.
So beautiful.
Through a lot of work and a lot of money. And, but
really?
It's worth it.
It's pricey?
One's done every 2 to 3 years. Yeah, it is pricey. The fungicide, it takes time. Again, interestingly, the insecticide we're injecting, it's not a huge dose. That fungicide treatment that we do for Dutch elm to prevent Dutch elm disease, you might inject 30 gallons, 50 gallons.
What?
And actually, years back, we used to do that to the American elms out in Grand Park. That was one of the contracts that we used to have was to do the preventative
30
treatment.
30 gallons a tree.
Yeah. Oh, more. 50 gallons,
that's
30
a,
gallons.
That's a big funnel.
Yeah. It's a big tank. And
is it all in one dose?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
They'll take it. If you do it right, it'll do that 30 to 50 gallons in a couple hours. Couple, two, three
it
hours.
It just absorbs it right
it's
up.
Sucking it right up.
And the Dutch elm is a fungus?
That's a fungal disease carried by an insect. It's moved from a...
Those pesky insects.
They're always
they
a problem, aren't
they? They ruin everything.
They
picnics,
do a lot of good things, too.
Trees.
They pollinate things. We need them, too.
I'm down with bees. I have an issue with some of the others, including the emerald ash.
That one's a bad one.
This is a bad one. Do we have locations they haven't? You said 30 states. Where aren't they?
Mostly the Midwest. It started in the Detroit area.
Okay.
So it started in Michigan, sort of radiated away from that. It's hopped all the way out to Denver. out to Colorado. So
I mentioned to you that my husband's parents have, my in-laws have a tree, and I was like, I think this one's going.
Yeah.
This is, it doesn't look good.
It follows people, you know, I-80. It does. You should not move, for a lot of different reasons, you should not move firewood geographically around, okay, because there's different diseases and insects that you can passively move from one place to another. So emerald ash borer, firewood was a major cause of moving it faster than, you know, than it was moving on its own.
So it wasn't just crawling on its own. It went.
It jumped ahead.
Camping, supplies,
whatever. Camping with us, yes.
Sean Kingzett, who is the district manager of Davies. If you have questions, we have somebody on the line. We're going to actually take this caller before we go to break. So let me pot up my phone call here. Hey, Julie, you're in Evanston. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Unfortunately, I don't know what kind of tree I have, but it's going through some really weird symptoms. It's losing its bark. Like, it's this huge tree. It's been there for like 20 years. It's not a maple, and it's not an ash. It's just a huge tree, and it's losing its bark little by little, and it's just raining all over the yard. Like, it looks like paper coming off. And
well, some trees do have, they exfoliate, you know, a sycamore, a birch, you know, but the bark is there to protect that part that's carrying the water and nutrients. So it means that if the bark comes off, it means that that area has died, which that's a bad thing. So the first
coming off the whole tree.
That's not good. Well, let's hope it's just the type of tree that has exfoliated bark.
I was going to say, if it's a birch.
A birch or silver maples will exfoliate.
We have that bark everywhere.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. It can be.
It's like littering the entire neighborhood. So I was just wondering, you know, this tree, I've been fighting with the city for a long time. Like, it loses its branches sometimes, and it fell on top.
Is it on the parkway or is it on your property?
Yeah, it's on the parkway. And
okay.
So I can call the city and have them come out and look at it.
Yeah.
But I just thought maybe you'd know what this big exfoliation was, if it meant that it's the end, or if it's just, because I've lived there almost 20 years, and it's never done this.
Yeah, I would ask the village forester what type of tree it is. It's probably, the way you're describing it, sounds like the characteristic of that tree. But an arborist would have to look at it, inspect it, and determine if some bigger problem was there. The fact that you've lived with it doing this for a long time says that it's probably just unfortunately, the characteristics of that type of tree.
No, it's never done this.
Oh, it's a new thing.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's probably not a birch.
No, it's not a birch. Yeah. It's hard to say.
Sycamore sounds, I think it may be a sycamore.
Sycamores do shed a lot. They're kind of messy trees. They'll shed bark and branches. And so it may not be a sign of a bigger, or symptom of a bigger problem.
Okay.
It could just be the characteristic. But again, over the phone or over the radio, it's kind of hard to tell what's going on.
All right, Julie, thank you so much for
your
question.
Thank you so much,
Julie.
All right.
We have more questions lining up. Cheryl has a question about woodpeckers that we are going to get to right on the other side of the break. If you have a question for Sean Kingzett, please give us a call, 312-981-7200. You can also text those in to the same number, 312-981-7200. Hannah Stanley with you for the next little bit with Sean Kingzett from Davies Trees Service. What is it?
Davies Tree Expert Company.
Yes, that's what I said. Hannah Stanley, snapping along to the Stevie Wonder, filling in for Frank Fontana, talking on the beat. Ironically, the boys from the beat will be coming up right after me. We'll be here with you for the next 10 minutes. If you have questions for Sean Kingzett, who's the general manager of Davies, they're tree experts, I'll just say that. We've got multiple questions coming in. We're going to get to as many as possible. Cheryl, we're going to get to you in just a second. That's just a second, I promise. One of the text questions is, if I have an ash tree on the City of Chicago Parkway, like one of the parkways,
mm-hmm,
does this person call the city, or can they pay a private company to treat it?
You know, I don't know their most recent policy. We used to get permits for different types of treatments. So, yes, a private company
can do
it. just had to inform the city of what they were doing, what materials they were using, verify that we had state of Illinois pesticide applicators that could legally and properly apply it.
Okay, so go to the city first.
I don't know if anything's changed. Yeah, go to the city first and ask that question. Ask the forestry department. They have a very good forestry department in the city of Chicago, John Lowe, Joe McCarthy, good guys, good arborists, and they can answer that question or go to the website. They probably have that information there. But in the past, we were able to treat parkway trees for different issues.
I tend to be kind of a beg for forgiveness sort of person, but with your endorsement of this department, I would say go to the city first.
Go to the city first. Pesticides are a regulated material. They need to be applied properly and safely.
All right, let's go to the phone now. We have Cheryl. Hi, you have a question about woodpeckers.
Hi, Hannah.
Hi.
And Sean.
Hi,
it's so serendipitous. I was just walking in, looking at my trees after being away for the weekend, and you guys were on, so I'm really excited.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I heard you talking about the ash, which I have in the front of my house. I live in the city of Chicago in the Beverly Morgan Park area, and they are treating the trees. So I don't know. I just happened to hear the other lady ask about who is treating them, but I know the city comes and they are treating my tree in front. So that might help her out. If they haven't started, she might want to know to give them a ring. But in the backyard, I have a 20-year-old fantastic magnolia tree, and I was going to trim it, and I'm looking, and there's holes all along the bark. So, of course, we Googled it, and we saw that it was probably a yellow-bellied sapsucker, which we were laughing, but...
Who knew that was real? That was a...
That's like a cartoon name.
Yeah, like, that doesn't exist.
That's a cartoon insult, you yellow-bellied sapsucker.
Oh, my God, it was so funny, but it wasn't funny when we looked and saw that, you know, I would say from the middle of the trunk, from the ground, all up on every branch, it looks like there's holes.
They find their favorite trees, and they come back year after year. They come through in the spring and the fall in migration, and you can tell the yellow-bellied sapsucker damage from other woodpecker damage because it's the parallel lines. It's either vertical or horizontal. Almost makes like a grid pattern.
Exactly.
It looks terrible. You'd think that that would really harm the tree, but for some reason it doesn't really. What they do is they pecker, and then a little bit of sap comes out, and they come back to lick up the sap and the insects attracted to the sap.
Ew.
But for whatever reason,
love nature.
It doesn't really affect the tree. So
really?
And it's not just magnolias, but lindens. But it is good to distinguish that in, you know, because some people get alarmed, and they'll say, oh, my gosh, this woodpecker is killing my tree. And you can quickly distinguish it because of those parallel lines versus random peckering of our other woodpeckers, downy or hairy or whatever.
So on the Internet, you know, it tells you to use all these different solutions and fill in these little things with sticky stuff. And so should I just leave it?
I would just leave it. Again, I've seen in all 20-something years of being an arborist, I think I've seen one Austrian pine damaged because they just peckered it so severely. They didn't kill the tree. They just did so much peckering at the very top of it that the top of the tree died.
Struggling.
Yeah. But other than that, that's not a serious health problem to a tree.
All right, Cheryl, thank you so much.
Take care, Cheryl.
Thank you so much.
Sure. All right, this is another text into 312-981-7200. Help! We have a honey locust tree. It's getting thinner foliage on the canopy, and now it's growing shooters, foliage low and around the trunk. Is it too late and just a matter of time before it dies?
Well, if it's a honey locust, it is not susceptible to emerald ash borer.
This is good.
So emerald ash borer only affects ash trees. Now, it's interesting because ashes will do that, too, in response to the emerald ash borer. They'll sucker out. They'll make a bunch of growth at the bottom of the tree. That's the tree's response to any sort of stress. If the top tips are dying, it says, hey, I need more leaves, and so it'll make more growth at the base and the bottom. We call those sucker branches. Mm-hmm. They're not proper branches. But a honey locust, you know, there's not a lot of specific problems that would match that pattern. That tree would need to be looked at, inspected to determine what's going on there, what might be causing this honey locust to struggle.
Okay.
But it sounds like they are picking up on the fact that it's not healthy.
It's not as healthy as it used to be. Consult with a certified arborist.
Yes, have a certified arborist look at it.
I've learned so much. I love having you on. All right, so many great questions. We're going to try to get to as many. We have multiple people on the phone, but a couple more from the texts. 100-year-old oak tree was distressed during the drought several years ago. Dividing the tree into thirds third of the trunk, third bottom of the tree, and a third top of the tree. The top of the tree is dead.
Oh, boy.
With no leaves or growth for 2 years.
Oh.
Can the top of the tree be cut, or does the whole tree need to come down?
For safety reasons, eventually that whole tree needs to be removed. If it's dead, if it's 100% dead, then it's going to get brittle, it's going to get dry, and it's going to start to break in the wind and storms. And then if you're underneath it when it does that, or if your house is underneath it when it does that, that's not good for you or your house.
No, it's devastating.
So for safety reasons, that tree should probably be removed. Sometimes with the oak trees, you know, they're big, they're glorious, they were hundreds of years old. And so we'll make like a totem out of it. We'll cut it off at a height, and sometimes I'll get wood carvers or whatever to do something interesting on the trunk. Because the risk of the trunk toppling, once you get the branches removed, the risk that the trunk falls over is pretty low, especially if you get it at 8 feet.
But you can still kind of honor that wood.
You can honor the tree and remember it. Sometimes it'll sucker out of the bottom and try to start over, but not usually. Once it dies, it usually dies.
All right, another question. They have a Japanese beetles in their green spire linden and a birch. What do they do?
Yeah, Japanese beetles are obnoxious. They were really quiet. The drought from a few years ago and then a hard winter kind of knocked Japanese beetles back for a while. They're really obnoxious. They chew on the foliage. They make the foliage look bad. The grubs, their larvae, feed on our grass and cause damage to our turf.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really a problem. There's treatments for it. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of things where we can just treat it once and boom, the problem goes away. We have to kind of keep treating. It is mostly superficial. But the fact that this insect, the Japanese beetles, start chewing on the leaves later in the summer, towards the end of the summer, it doesn't need to make, the leaves are there to make energy.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need every leaf all summer long to survive.
It just needs enough.
It just needs enough to come back next year to make buds and do its thing next year. So a little bit of damage on the foliage isn't that big of a deal. But these are ornamental plants, so we treat a lot of trees, birches, lindens, crab apples, to try to get rid of Japanese beetle. But they are obnoxious. They're disgusting. They're just not fun. And like emerald ash borer, they're an invasive. They were imported. Most of our big problems with trees, they weren't problems
that
were
here.
They didn't start here. Humans move them around. We brought them to here.
Johnny Appleseed didn't deal with these. Sophia, welcome to WGN. You have a question about evergreens.
Yes, I'll make this quick. Blue spruce evergreens, they seem to be fading out in the western suburbs. In the northern ones, they seem pretty healthy. And then I also had a question about a linden tree, whether or not they seem to be a problem when there are storms. They lose a lot of branches, if that's just common of the linden tree, because they're on the parkway in the city. And so basically, it's a two-questioner about the blue spruce evergreen and the
Yeah.
if you don't mind.
No, blue spruces are kind of like the ash trees. They're becoming a problem in our area. They got a lot of different health issues, needle cast disease, Botrytisferia canker. Just different things. So they used to be kind of what we were recommending as our evergreen, and now we need to fade away. Trying to keep them healthy is difficult. There's sprays and treatments and fertilizing and stuff, but it's kind of hard. So we're kind of recommending to folks to start to fade away from those with like Norway spruce or white pine in some situations. There's other evergreen options, concolor or white fir, that might be better options for spruce. If you have a blue spruce, maybe have an arborist look at it and see if they can help you out, though.
Okay, so they will go away. In other words, they're just nearing their end. I mean, the more needles fall off, the closer they are to just losing.
Yeah, they're not going to live 100 years. They're not meant for the Midwest. Blue spruce are from Colorado. They're from the West.
Got it.
And so they're really not meant for our area, and they don't always do well. So, yeah, they're going to live 30, 40 years and then start to fade away. So there might be better options. And then lindens are usually okay with storm damage, but sometimes they break in the wind. So that's a tree that has to be inspected. They're not known. Lindens aren't known specifically for being a problem tree, though.
Oh, I see. Okay, that's good to know.
All right, Sophia.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Take care, Sophia.
All right. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Sean Kingsett, District Manager of Davies, you will be back, I'm sure. So save those questions up. I apologize to everyone we did not get to. There were many of you. You guys had great questions. And thank you so much for coming in.
It's good to see you again.
I love learning stuff from you. It's fantastic.